Okay, so this is Greek Club. This is Jeff Oswald substituting for Dr. Jeff Gibbs, who's out of town today. And if I understood his note right, we're ready for Galatians 2:17. I hope that's right. That's where I'm ready to begin, so we'll do that. And it's a good thing we're just looking at Greek here, because our, you know, if this were more of an exegetical study, there would be a lot of questions we'd have to go back and say, okay, how did we answer that? Some important ones in, you know, 16, the pisteos Christou, and so on. But we'll look at some of the Greek constructions and save the exegesis for another time. So Galatians 2, verse 17, and of course it's Paul speaking. A dads a tuntes dikaiothenai en Christo. So A, of course, if, and then you have a participle and infinitive. If seeking, and of course that often is followed by an infinitive to say what it is you're trying to do or seeking to do, seeking to obtain. So if seeking to be justified, it's the aorist passive infinitive, dikaiao, it's an O contract, so that's where you get the omega and then the theta, eta, which we usually associate with the aorist passive. And then en Christo, and here's where it's hard not to cross over into a little exegesis. En, well, en Christo in Paul, you know, is one of his favorite expressions, but it's one that gets a lot of attention in the literature. I saw a note from Fung's commentary where he says, it's been described as utterly defying definite interpretation. It's because Paul will use it in a variety of contexts with the suggestion of a couple of possible meanings, and I think that's what we're seeing here too. That en could have a locative sense, although figuratively, you know, to be in Christ, that is connected with Him, one with Him, or en could be more of an instrumental kind of use, as we see later. Let's see, if you look down in 3:11, you have the same verb in a passive, dikaiutai, en namo, justified in the law, by the law. So here too, it seems to be sort of, well, Fung finally tries to put it into words that justification is the result of union with Christ through faith. So both in Him and through Him, if that's what we're seeking, justification in and through Christ, now we get our main verb, hierethemen. First person, plural, and again, aorist passive. We were found. Now, found what? You have the nominative complement there, hamartoloi. So we were found to be sinners, or as sinners. And then you have the kai autoi in between. The kai here, probably in the intensive sense, the even, and the autoi sort of functioning in the same way, even we ourselves. Again, there's a contrast Paul's been making between sort of those who should know certain things and those whom you wouldn't expect to. Fung sort of paraphrases this as, we ourselves no less than the Gentiles, which is, I think, the contrast Paul's working on. So then you have the, this is how the participle fits in. We, who are already seeking to be justified in Christ, if even we are found to be sinners, then what? What's the conclusion we can draw? And of course, that's what ara does. Ara Christos himartias diakonos. Is this the conclusion we're supposed to draw? That Christ, hamartios diakonos, Christ is a servant, really an assistant or an agent of sin. Paul often uses sin in a personified way, and that almost seems to be the case here, although I didn't see many in the literature emphasizing that. But I was struck by his use of diakonos here rather than doulos. We see the idea of slave to sin a lot. But in terms of guilt, I think you can see it's even worse to be a diakonos, right? Someone who is a sort of a willing agent or assistant. He's helping sin accomplish its purpose. And of course, that's something Paul not only wouldn't say, he can't even imagine thinking it. And the me genoita, have you talked about this expression before? It's common in Paul, but this is genoita is an optative, optative middle from genomai, and you can see the aorist stem there. So genoita is the third person singular aorist optative. Optatives often express hopes or wishes. You know, this is in the again the realm of even sort of more remote possibility than the subjunctive usually expresses. So the me genoita is a negativing, it's a denying of even the possibility of this thought. It's sort of, who would even think that?
Just like by no means.
By no means, God forbid, is the the gloss you'll see in the lexicon. Let's see. Bedag simply adds the comment that you see this in Paul after rhetorical questions. Wallace, actually quoting from Burton's book on moods and tenses, says in 12 of Paul's 14 uses it expresses abhorrence of an inference which he fears may be falsely drawn from his argument. So if we are seeking justification in Christ and we discover in that that we ourselves are sinful, then is that Christ doing? Is he really the agent who is making us sinful? That's the conclusion Paul doesn't want anyone to draw. Christ is no agent of sin. And he denies that in about as strong of terms as you can in Koine Greek. Okay, questions on 17.
For Dikai Othelai. Now, why is the omega elongated again?
It's a contract verb, Dikai A'o with the omicron, and that lengthens then the end of the stem, the connecting vowel there.
Gotcha.
Okay. Verse 18 then. Agar, and now the gar, you know, always sort of consequent on what has come before. So we've denied this potential misunderstanding. And on the basis of that, then, we can say the following. If ha kat elusa, if the relative pronoun there, the things that I then kata luo, in the aorist indicative, that's first singular. So means to destroy, to tear down, demolish. So if what I demolish, these things, tauta, so the tauta ha kat elusa, the things that I demolish, pollen oikodomo, again I oikodomeo, an epsilon contract, I build up, and the pollen gives it the idea of rebuilding. So if the things which I tore down aorist, I am building up again present, parabatein emauton sinistano. Sinistano is an alternate form of sinistemi, and here it's in the idea of providing evidence to prove or demonstrate something. So I, in fact, prove myself. I provide the own evidence really against myself that I am a parabatin. Parabates is a violator, a transgressor. Parabino, remember, to sort of go against, outside the boundaries. So then if that's true, I demonstrate myself to be a sinner. Okay. Yeah, what any of that actually means is sort of still a step or two away. But Paul is certainly addressing the issue of how is it that the person seeking justification is found to be a sinner, and it looks like the person provides all the evidence needed himself. You don't need Christ to be a diakonos amartios to do that. Okay. Verse 19 then. Ego gar, another gar here, so another sort of another ramification of the whole point Paul is trying to make. We know this previous thing is true because I, dia namu, through law, namo ap ethanon, died to law, law in the dative, so talking about realm or sphere here, probably with respect to the law, I died. And that's op ethanon, you remember, is the second aorist of apathnesco. Sort of a figurative sense of death here, but this is dead to me, we say in English too. Hina theo zeso. In order that, or with the, is this a result or a purpose, or is it that kind of combination of both that happens when God is at work? I zeso, here, aorist subjunctive, could potentially be indicative future, but those two forms have a close connection anyway, thinking about future possibilities. But with hina, much more natural to take it as the subjunctive. That I might live, or may live to God. So to make this possible, that I live to God rather than live to law. Here too, the reference, the unraveling of this very condensed kind of thought that Paul is using here in his argument would take some time. It's interesting to notice that Luther's approach, I think, is quite different to the common one today, where he sees the dianamu, the through the law, as a reference to Christ. He says Paul goes so far as to call Christ the law that then ends the power of the law over him. But that would be a better discussion to have in an exegetical course when we've looked at all of these thoughts together. Okay, then...
Because the law, I mean, is that referring to the Torah, you know, or the law in our hearts? I mean, all that can mm-hmm. be ambiguous, I guess, right?
Yeah. And notice, and that's why I corrected myself, but we have no articles on either the genitive namu or the dative namo. Is that significant or not? Again, there are lots of discussions of that with Paul. So through a law, I died to a law. That's one possibility. Through law, I died to law. I think that's the way most understand it today. But what you don't see is through the law, I died to the law. Although perhaps that argument could be made too.
Is dia, can that be because? Because of the law?
Well, then it would be with the accusative. So when it's dia with the genitive, it's usually this agency, this by means of or through something.
Okay. If the law had been discussed earlier in the same section mm-hmm. with a definite article, can it inherit that definiteness without replicating?
Usually it's the other way around. The article takes you back to something that's already been mentioned or defined or described in the sense of that law, you know, the law we were just talking about. That it would go from definite to indefinite. I think would be unusual. What would be more likely is that Paul would think it's so obvious you know which law he's referring to that he doesn't need the article. Almost in the, you notice that Theo doesn't have an article either. And there it's simply, this is God, not a God, but the one true God. So if law is approaching a proper noun in the way Paul uses it, then you might not expect to see a definite article. Okay. Now the last two words then of 19, Christo sin estauromai. Sustaurao, sin with staurao, to crucify with, and here you see it in the perfect passive. I have been crucified with Christ, and it usually has been the object in the dative because of the sin prefix on the verb. So here, obviously not in its literal physical sense, but in terms of connection to the crucifixion that Christ underwent, sort of flows out of the, what does it mean to be en Christo, the things he experienced now become mine. So again, one of Paul's favorite verbal prefixes is sun. He even coined some new words by adding that to it. So to be crucified with Christ. And then, let's see, should we try to do verse 20? We got a couple more minutes. I don't know if you have to get to class or not. But okay. Then, zo de uketi ego. Verse 20. Zo from zao, and it's an alpha contract, but it's a little bit unusual in some of the ways it conjugates. But here, first person singular, present indicative active. And the question is, what is the relative article referring to? But for now, or is it what I live? Now I live in the flesh. Let's come back to that in a moment after we read the rest of the sentence here. I live en sarki, in the flesh, or in flesh. En pistezo, and you can see the sort of chiasm there with zo en sarki, en pistezo, to make a contrast. In faith I live te tu huiu tu theu. Where can we stop here? Tu agapeson tos me kai paradontas te auton hyper imo. Here it looks like en pistezo te tu. You have this definite article that seems to have been orphaned. It's just kind of hanging out there with no noun that actually closes it off. The second half of the sentence looks much more like the life I am now living, I live in faith, or is it in faith, namely the faith of the Son of God. There again, either way, it's a little bit unusual construction. Take it as this. But what I live now, I live in the flesh. sort of repeating the verb there to go both with the relative pronoun and with the prepositional phrase. I live also this same life, even though it's characterized by flesh. I live in faith. And here, I think the te is with piste. What faith? The faith of the Son of God. Then, two, going back to, is it Son or God? The first one, actually both, could refer either to Son or God. But especially the giving himself, we tend to associate with the Son more closely. So, but you see, both huiu and theou are in the genitive.
Could that be implied, though, by the tu huiu, tu theou, tu agapesantos? That kind of being a second attribute or a second attributed construction. So you've got tu theou is modifying huiu. And then agapesantos is second attributive to huiu.
Yeah, I think grammatically it could also be to theou as well, though, couldn't it? To theou, to agapesantos. So you have the string of genitives that are all masculine singulars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why grammatically it's hard to tell. Probably the best way to decide would be to go back and look at Paul's other language. Does he ever say anyone but Christ gives himself for him? But certainly, I think the grammar suggests that Paul himself isn't wanting to make too clear a distinction here. God loved him, that much is clear. But we think of this work of giving himself as more specifically of the Son. So you would have a series then of genitives modifying huiu. And I think that's the way most readers take it. So, the Son of God, who agapesantos me, there the aorist participle, loved me, and paradontes handed himself over for me, or gave himself for me. And of course that has strong connections then with the gospel passion language, being given over, handed over up to death in this case, but for me.
All right.
Can we stop there?
Yeah.
Okay.